Well, thank you, Pastor Julie, for this awesome, awesome week of VBS and you and your team and the focus, the decor. I was thinking in the first service, I said, man, you know, when I was a kid, I really wish for a bedroom like this with all this kind of stuff in it. You know, that would be, I had the coolest room in the neighborhood. Then in the second service, I was sitting over there and I'm thinking, well, you know, my kids always wanted cool rooms, and I said, absolutely not, you know. Just a lot of work to get something like this done, but it's all good. So thank you, Pastor Julie, for the awesome job and the team with all the mission focus. Yes, yes, absolutely. Hey, before I get into the message this morning, I want to give you an update on Hope Distributed. A couple of things that you need to know. Let's just go back. I think that's too far forward. Yeah, there we go, right here. For some of us, this is a review, but Hope Distributed was established in 2004, right here off of this old kitchen in the closet. We are a registered 501c3 in the state of Virginia, and we do three things, and we do them pretty good. We do a food pantry, a clothes closet, and we also distribute furniture to individuals in need. And we do this through a variety of programs. Now, we're always hearing about the food that is given out through Hope Distributed, and that's true. But let me tell you a little bit about our clothing closet, which is now our free clothing store. That's the new name, free clothing store. I keep saying clothing closet, but it's our free clothing store. This past year, we distributed 47,000 outfits. Not pieces of clothes, but complete outfits, 47,000 outfits. So there's a huge need. Yep. There's a huge need in our community. The other thing is that through our home-to-home, which is the furniture aspect of our ministry, home-to-home distributed over 500 furniture items to 89 families. So there's a need out there, a lot of people being helped. Let's move on to the next slide here. Our mission is very simple, is to provide food, clothing, and furniture to the people of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County in a dignified and respectful manner. And that's how we want to do it, in a dignified and respectful manner. Our goal, we have one goal. Our number one goal is to improve the quality of life of those who are less fortunate in our community by providing the most basic needs that sustain life. So that's what Hope Distributed is about. Let's go to the next slide. Now, last year, 33% provided 80 pounds of food. Now, you know, you say 33%, I mean, that's impossible to do. Well, let me tell you, we distribute over 500,000 pounds a year. That's a lot of food, 500,000 pounds. Now, the thing that you may not know is that over 90% of that, pretty close to 100%, but over 90% of that food we receive from our partners in the community. So it's not an expense to us. That's how we've been able to keep this number low. Now, what drives the number up or down is our overhead and the amount of money that we spend in getting additional food. Sometimes that number drops to 14 cents or 8 cents. Sometimes it goes up a little bit. But this was last year. So, you know, we're grateful that we have these great partners in our community that can provide this to meet the need, the great need that we have out there. Our community impact, one food pantry plus five food providers. By the way, that number has increased in this last year. We have two more food partners that are providing over 150 volunteers and six outreach programs. It results in 24,000 people being served and 519,000 pounds of food being distributed. So, you know, praise be to God for that. Yeah, you can clap. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, that's a really, really big deal. Right now, we're serving 2,200 people, 2,400 people a month. And with the new building, we are projecting, this is our projection, to reach 8,000 people on a monthly basis. Monthly basis. So we're excited for that. All right, let's go to the next slide here. Construction update, just a couple things. Let's go to the next slide here. This is, again, some of you have seen this, some of you have not. But on the left, this is the first floor of this big building that's out here. You have the waiting area and then there's a wall, and on the other side of that wall is going to be the warehouse, and there's going to be a self-shopping aisle there with food on both sides where people can go and do a self-shopping experience. On the second level, we have three offices, a bathroom, and a break room for all the volunteers that we have coming through. Now, I know some of us have been wondering, you know, where are we in the finances and all that? I've looked at the numbers and asked questions to our finance folk, and they tell me that it looks like we're going to be pretty much done. The only thing that we don't have in our financial scope right now within our reach is the two refrigeration units that are going to go in that building. They're 20 by 20, so overall is a 20 by 40 area that needs to be covered with two large refrigerators, a freezer and a refrigerator. And that's going to be about $90,000 to have all that installed with all the things that go to that. So that's where we're at. But speaking with everybody who was involved in the final work, we are 16 weeks out to finishing that building and being inside and working and operating out of there. So that's where we're at, and I'm really excited about that because, you know, I'm really focused now on the 8,000. That's the target. That's the number that's in my head, 8,000, and the programs that need to be developed and implemented to make that happen. So I'm excited about that, and I covet your prayers so that will happen in a way that it will honor and glorify God and really, really impact our community in an amazing way. I think we can do that. So, hey, as I transition into the message this morning, I was, I was thinking about this for months now, this whole series. I'm doing a series on this the entire month of August in the third service. So, but as I was thinking about this, this title came up, God impressed this title into my heart, Life's Work. And really what it should read is My Life's Work. And by the end of today, I hope that we can, all of us, 100% of us, could say, yes, this is my life's work. And I believe that as we walk out, we're going to be able to say that personally. This is my life's work. So in preparation for this morning and for this month, the Lord impressed upon my heart the meaning of good news. Good news. Good news is something good. That's what good news is. Good news is a really good thing. I mean, none of us wake up in the morning. I mean, none of us set our alarm clocks for 4:30 in the morning the night before, and we set it up eager and excited about getting up at 4:30 in the morning. And once we wake up, we say to ourselves, can't wait to get to work. I hope that my boss tells me I'm fired today. That would really, really make my day. I mean, none of us wake up at 4:30 in the morning and we get up and we say, man, I'm going to see the doctor. I hope I get a bad report today. None of us, you know, where we're sitting around at work or doing whatever we're doing, we don't say, you know, I really hope things fall apart at home. None of us want that. I mean, that's not what we do. I mean, we all hope for good news. We all want good news. I mean, we want a good report. We want a good evaluation. We want things to go better, to be on demand. We want things to move forward in progress. That's what we want. Good news is like medicine to the soul. Good news gives life to the human spirit. It brings joy where there is sadness. It brings hope where there is despair. Good news allows us to anticipate the future, knowing that life will be better. I know when my mom was in her last days, I remember her saying to me, and you need to understand, my mom was deaf and mute from birth. She never spoke and she never heard. There's nothing that could have been done for her medically. She was just totally deaf, totally mute. And we communicated through sign language. But a couple years ago when she was dying, one of the things she was looking forward to was this. She says, oh, I am going to hear and I am going to speak. That was good news. Good news, things were going to get better, even in her last days. That is awesome. That's how good news works. It makes a difference. Now, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he went into the synagogues and he read from the book of Isaiah the following words. And you can find these. You could either go to Isaiah or you can go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And here's what Jesus read about himself. Here's what he read. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In this passage, we see that it speaks about his mission, his life's work, and his interaction with humanity. He came to proclaim good news, to bring freedom from bondage, to bring healing from sickness. He came not just to let us know that God is extending his favor towards us. He showed us how God was extending his favor towards us. This is good news in action. Now, if we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if we read the Gospels, we come to the realization that this is exactly what Jesus did. He brought good news to the people he encountered. Jesus calls us to do the same. He calls us to bring good news. He calls us to be witnesses of the gospel. Gospel meaning good news. Paul says that we're not only to be witnesses, but we are to be ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents and speaks on behalf of his president or his country. In this case, you and me, us, we the church, as believers, we represent Jesus and what he stands for, and he stands for good news. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says this. In the middle of this verse, we find these words. He says, "Do the work of an evangelist." The word "do" originally in the original language implies continual action. It implies to do something, to go on doing something continually. And the word "work" stands for putting into action. So in essence, the passage here, this portion, is saying to continually put into action the good news. Continually put into action the good news. It's not just about speaking. It is about being and becoming a living example of good news. Now, good news meets a need. Always. Always. That is the essence of good news. Good news looks to bring good into the bad. It looks to bring good into the sad, into the broken, and into the hopeless areas of our lives. That's what good news does. It brings good into the bad, into the broken, into the sad. And today, I'm going to share four areas of need where good news can make a world of a difference. And in sharing these areas, my hope and my prayer is that you truly make good news your life's work. I think as believers, we don't have any other choice but to make good news our life's work. Now, the first area I want to share is this, is that good news meets relational needs. It always does. Good news meets relational needs. And there are over 50,000 people living in Harrisonburg. A little bit more, about 80 or so thousand in Harrisonburg, in Rockingham County. But good news meets relational needs. And all these people in Harrisonburg, and if we just reduce it even to just our own family, everyone in our family has a relational need. Everyone has a relational need. So all these people around us have relational needs. They need someone to hear them out. They need someone to understand them. They need someone to value them. They need someone to appreciate them. Everyone has relational needs. And meeting a relational need has to do with seeing people where they are at, seeing their needs, seeing their pain, seeing their sadness, seeing their brokenness, and bringing and speaking good news into their lives. There was an intern and his pastor. They went into Barnes and Noble's. And as they were there, they went around to look for some books, you know, just to hang out, like many of you do. Go in there, you look, peruse through books, get coffee and, you know, so forth. Read books for free, put them back on the shelf, that kind of stuff. So here's this pastor and this intern, and they go into the aisles, they're looking for books, and the intern goes one way and the pastor goes another. And the intern, in the area that he walked into, he noticed this lady looking around for some books, and he finally asked her this question. He says, "Are you finding what you're looking for?" And she says, "No, not really." And he goes, "So what exactly are you looking for?" She says, "I'm looking for a book on grieving, on loss and grieving." Then she went on to say, "You see, just a couple days ago, my 20-year-old son died. And my husband and I can't put our hands around this. We can't seem to get our emotions intact. And we just are having a hard time processing our pain and our grief at this time." So he looked at her and he says, "Well, I'll help you look." So as he was looking through the shelves and in the area, and he went and walked around in the other aisle, and he saw his pastor there, and he says, "Hey, by any chance, do you know any good books on grieving?" And the pastor says, "Yeah, Colors of Goodbye." So he went back and, you know, told the lady, "Look for this book, Colors of Goodbye." So they found the book and they prayed with her. And after they were done praying, she was crying and she says, "You know, I feel that God sees me in my pain right here, right now." Good news, meeting a relational need. Now, after the lady had gone, the pastor asked his intern, he says, "Hey, how did you get this conversation going?" He says, "Well, when, you know, when we walked in, I went into the aisle, I noticed she was looking under the titles of loss and dying, grieving and dying. So I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to ask her and engage her in a conversation." And that's how the conversation started. See, all around us, there are people with relational needs. And you and I can meet that. We can meet that need. We can help people in those situations. Second thing is this: good news meets physical needs. Physical needs. Central to the Christian life is the desire to meet physical needs around us. And God speaks to this in the Old Testament through His prophets. He calls His people to be a compassionate and caring people of those who are less fortunate. And Jesus revealed to us God's heart when He encountered individuals who were sick, who were hungry, who were outcast. He fed them, He healed them, He touched them, and He embraced them. So we know that God speaks to this, and Jesus reveals this to us. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 40, Jesus tells us that when we feed a person, when we clothe a person, when we give someone a cup of cold water, we are literally doing it unto Him. In other words, we are actually blessing Him. Good news meets physical needs. I'm sure I've said this before, but in our clothes closet, one of our workers during the winter months was helping this family, and she noticed that the mother of the family didn't have adequate shoes. I think she had sandals on. Tried to find her a pair of shoes. She didn't have any shoes that were her size. So she went to another part of the clothing store and there she discreetly took off her shoes, and she says, hey, to the lady, she says, I found a pair of shoes for you. Good news. Meets physical needs, always. I'm sure you've been at a restaurant, or maybe even in an airplane, where there's a mom there, you know, she's alone, she's with her three kids, and she's there, and boy, she's got her hands full. And one of the kids is loud, is whiny, is obnoxious. It's getting on everybody's nerve. And then all of a sudden you hear people around you starting to murmur, starting to criticize, saying, you know, why doesn't she control those kids? And, you know, why, what an unruly mom. She's not a good mom. And if you're in a restaurant, you're probably saying to yourself, you're saying, you know, I came to have a nice, quiet dinner, and now I gotta deal with this, and I'm out of here. You get all frustrated. You get up, and you want to leave. Or if you're on the plane, you can ask the stewardess to move you from one seat to another, far, far from all the whining and the crying. Or you can approach that mom and say, hey, can I help you with anything? I noticed that you got your hands full. And I remember, you know, when my kids were growing up, man, they were a handful too. Boy, the tantrums they would throw in the grocery store in the middle of the aisle. And, you know, I said, but that's part of life. And you're doing a good job. How can I help you? Good news meets a need. Always. Always. So, good news. Good news meets relational needs, meets physical needs. Good news also meets global needs. Several weeks back, I shared with you briefly that 22,000 children die every day of preventable diseases. 22,000. It's no secret that access to clean water in many places, it's a huge, huge problem. In recent years, we have seen how the refugees are at the center of one of the greatest humanitarian crises of our day. Unprecedented numbers of individuals, families, are being uprooted and displaced from their homeland because of civil war and political upheaval. No fault of their own. And yet they're in the middle of these situations where they've lost everything. They have nothing. Now, in response to these crises, many are moved with compassion to sponsor a child and to provide opportunities that they would otherwise would never have, to break the cycle of poverty and to be able to dream to the future and have a better life. Many have built wells to provide clean water for entire communities. Others have raised their voices on behalf of refugees and the injustices that they're experiencing. Good news meets the global needs. Many of you have sponsored children. Many of you have given to build wells in different parts of the world. And many of you have raised your voice in advocacy on behalf of refugees and the injustice that they're experiencing, even here in our own community. And I say, I applaud you for doing that, for making a difference, for being a bearer of good news. Now there's one more thing I want to share. Good news meets spiritual needs. As children of God, we look at the devastation and the chaos that sin has brought into the world and has brought into our lives and into the lives of people that we know, people around us. And we have a great concern for those who are far from God. We have a great concern for those whose lives have been turned upside down and have been devastated by sin. You know some of those folks. Some of them live in your own family. Some of them are your coworkers, maybe even your neighbors. And you see that, and you want to bring good news. We don't bring condemnation. We don't bring judgment. We don't bring rejection. We bring good news. And every one of us, every single one of us knows someone with a spiritual need. Pastor Kerry this morning during our prayer was sharing a statistics that he just heard this past week. He said 53% of the population in the United States, the entire United States, not just Virginia, the United States, 53% of the population in the United States will never come to church. Ever. So, good news meets spiritual needs. Makes a difference. And everyone around us, everyone that we know of someone with a spiritual need. And as bearers of good news, we should be able to normalize sharing our faith. I mean, sharing our faith shouldn't be awkward. It shouldn't be strange. It shouldn't be difficult. Sharing our faith should be normal. It should be just as breathing should be normal as breathing or eating. That's how normal it should be. Not to use a modern phrase that's really a buzzword now that's being used in every single market, is sharing our faith should be organic. Should be natural. Shouldn't be a strain. It shouldn't be difficult. So you probably say, well, how do you do that? Well, you know, because it should be natural. It should look something like this. Whatever environment, wherever you hang out, whether it's work or play, wherever it is, it should be natural. So if I'm in the gym and I'm working out, I'll just start it like this. Hey, how's your workout coming along? Are you getting the results that you're looking for? So I'm starting a conversation naturally. That's what I would normally say. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And that's how I engage people with good news. That's how I engage. Now, if I'm in the grocery store, which I don't often like to go, my wife does that, but you know, every once in a while, I'll go to the grocery store, and I just don't know where anything is. So when I get there and I'm lost, I might get there and I'll say, hey, my wife sent me to the store to pick this up. I have no idea where this item is. I'll be sharing that with a total stranger. And I say, do you know where this item is? Oh, yeah, this is in aisle so-and-so. And I say, well, thank you so much. And I just start a conversation. It's natural. I mean, I'm there to pick up an item. That's what I'm going to be talking about. It should be natural. It shouldn't be strained. It shouldn't be awkward. It shouldn't be, you know, weird. It just should be natural for us to engage people in conversation with good news. And good news really meets spiritual needs. It really does. Now, how do we apply this? How do we do this? How do we make good news our life's work? I mean, really, there's no options for us as bearers of good news. How do we make this a reality for us? I want to give you a couple exhortations, three exhortations. They're not suggestions. They're more things for us to really consider and do. And the first one is this. Know that suffering unveils human vulnerability. It really does. Know that suffering unveils human vulnerability, thus welcoming good news. In other words, suffering makes us vulnerable and it invites something good. It always does. Nobody wants to stay stuck in suffering. Nobody wants to stay stuck in pain. Nobody wants to stay there all the rest of their lives feeling miserable, feeling down, feeling hurt. No, no, hey, really, trust me, suffering welcomes good in. It is when people are hurting and in pain that they are most vulnerable. But for most of us, it is easier to run from pain than to sit with it. Vulnerability makes us tender and open to good news. But for most of us, it's really difficult to engage people who are hurting. We run from pain. We run from it. You know, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a long time. And I don't know about my fellow pastors, but for me, one of the most difficult things to do is to literally go to the hospital and visit. That is hard for me. It's hard for me because of the pain that I encounter. It's hard for me to look at pain in the eye and sit with pain and experience pain. That's kind of hard. It's like, listen, and it's hard for you too. It's hard for most of us, actually. It's hard for most of us to sit with somebody whose family has just been shattered and their life is just falling apart, or the kids have been taken away by social services. I mean, it's hard for us to sit with somebody and feel their pain and live in their pain. It's hard. But let me tell you, vulnerability invites and welcomes in good news always. Now, test yourself in this. Now, the next time you take a drive and you stop at a red light, see how often you look into the eyes of the person who's holding up the hungry sign. Or the lady who's there and the hair is matted and the clothes is all greasy. And literally from your window, if you put your window down, you can almost smell, they don't smell well. But test yourself and see how often you look at the person's eye and make eye contact with them and invite them in and bring their pain into your life, and so that you can bring good news into their lives. How often does that happen? The truth is, because I do this, I'm not proud of saying this to you, but I know that's a human nature. Listen, when we look at pain, we run from it because we don't want to sit with it. But you need to understand that pain and suffering invites in good news. Always. So know that suffering unveils human vulnerability, thus welcoming good news. The second exhortation is this: look for and be aware of needs around you. Everywhere we go, there are needs around us. And we need to ask God to help us. We need to ask God to really help us to be aware of the needs that people have, and to help us know them, really know them, and meet that need. Ask God to help you see people and not see past people. We're so busy. We're so full of our agenda, that we see past people. We rush here, we rush there, we rush everywhere. And people around us have great needs that we're not seeing the needs, and we see past them. God help us. God help me to see these needs around me. So ask God to help you see that. Ask God to lead you and to engage you in these situations. Ask God to help you to see them with His eyes and to hear them with His ears. What is God seeing? What is God hearing? Not what you hear. Not what you see. You know, you might see the person in the corner and we're saying, oh, they're just making a lot of money. That's what we often see. Here's what we see and here's what we hear. We hear this and we say, oh, they're just going to take that and buy a pack of cigarettes, or they're going to buy a six-pack, or they're going to buy a bottle of whatever. Often that's what we think, because that's what we're hearing and that's what we're seeing. But we need to really ask God, Help me to see what you see. And help me to hear what you hear. And then, Lord, help me to hear your voice and show me how to connect, how to bring good news. In the third service, I would say amen. Amen. Listen, often in the third service, when I need encouragement, I'll say this. Way to go, Pastor Sam. Amen, Pastor Sam. Keep going, Pastor Sam. Good word, Pastor Sam. Just a little encouraging of myself. Yeah, you can clap. You can clap. Let me finish up. Know that everyone around you is one person close to God. Everyone around you, this 100% of you, 100% of us, everyone around us, wherever we go, is one person close to God. That means everyone around us is one person near to God. Now, when we talk about Jesus, we say this. When we want to accept Jesus, we say, well, you got to invite him into your heart. And Jesus comes into your life. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Mm-hmm. We read in Scripture, in fact, in Revelations 3:20, it says, Jesus speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever opens this door, I will come in and I will dine with him, and they will dine with me. And what they're really saying, what Jesus is really saying, hey, I'm going to come in to your life. In fact, when we ask our young children, when we ask them when they receive Jesus, and we ask them this, hey, where's Jesus right now? And they say, he's in my heart. That's what they say. Now what they say, he's in my heart. He's living in me. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, hey, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I and the Father will make our home in you. And the word is tabernacle, which is interesting. He says, I'm going to make my tabernacle in you. You're going to be my church. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in there. You're the temple. That's what Paul says. What's the other passage says? That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do we believe this? Yes? So that means that wherever I go, because I am a child of God and I've been saved, and God lives in me, wherever I go, guess what? He's in me. He's right here. He's in here. And wherever I go, he's there. God is there. He's present. He's ever present in my heart. He's ever present in your heart. Wherever you go, everyone around you is one person close to God. Hey, your lost friends. Hey, if you're in a grocery store. Hey, if you're in a gym. Or if you go down to the lake and you're doing whatever you're doing, barbecuing, whatever it is. If you go down to the beach, wherever you're at, wherever you go, everyone around you is one person close to God. And that person is you. That will never change. Know this, because you are a bearer of good news. When the church is at its best, when I am at our best, we provide people with good news, individually and collectively. God has planted good news in your heart. And you know what moves us? You know what moves us to be bearers of good news, to make good news our life's work? You know what moves us to that? Is the love that God has planted in our hearts. God has embraced you. God has showered you. God has blessed you with grace and mercy and love, and he has overwhelmed you with abundance of love and grace. And that's what moves us to be bearers of good news. And that's what you are. God bless you, Pastor Kerry.
Pastor Sam walks the talk. And for about 15 years, he's been here among us to make sure we don't forget exactly what he shared today. And I think we will remember. Our ushers are going to wait on us now. We are going to get an opportunity now to respond to the Hope Distributed need. It was beautiful to see our young people bring a check for $1,278 and some change. How amazing is that, that the future generations who have already shown up here are leading the way in generosity. They're bringing diapers in all week and bars of soap and just shoes. And it's beautiful to see it lived across all generations. But now's our opportunity to say, yes, we believe that this ministry is valid in our community, and we want to give. So if you'd like to give a check today, just make it payable to Hope Distributed. Or you can go online. There are some cards I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But I'm going to go ahead and let the offering begin. Hope Distributed would be your check, or cash will be fine. And I think it would be pretty good if we could do some matching gifts on what the kids have already given today. So let's just go ahead and receive an offering. And as you do that, I want to talk to you about a couple of other cards. There are three tables in the foyer today, and please don't just walk past them today. Please reach for the literature. There is a prayer card. It's called Mission Focused Prayer. And on the back, it has local and global needs. And these are the names of the local and the global partners we have as a local church. It makes a great, put a magnet on your fridge and pray as you walk past daily. Makes a great bookmark in maybe your Bible that you read daily. These are just really important, essential that we pray for those we partner with in ministry. The other card that you're going to find on the tables, and also I have placed some right here in case you don't want to wade through the table area. These cards are for all of us to take part in an ongoing basis with contributions to Hope Distributed. Now, if you'd like to be a volunteer and you're not already, you can get in touch with Jenny Meadows here at the local church, who helps us oversee Hope Distributed. But this is for a given. If you'd like to be a part of giving, if we all give something, a lot will happen. And this little card here is a place for to put your name, address, city, and all of that. But on the top of the card, it just simply says, I will help my neighbor. Now, today you can check to give monthly, and you can write the amount that Hope Distributed can count on that will come in monthly to that particular ministry. You can give quarterly, you can give annually, or you can just give a one-time gift. Let me give you an example on the front of the card, just three examples of what your gift might do in Hope Distributed. If you give a $500 gift, it will provide 80 pounds of groceries to 1,515 families. That's pretty good return on the $500. Let's say you give $300. It could provide 27 individuals with one mattress, one set of sheets, one blanket, and one set of towels. You can help 27 individuals rest at night. $300. $100 would provide 36 individuals with four full outfits plus accessories, winter coat, socks, and the undergarments. I'm talking about 36 people. $100. This is what Hope Distributed is about, and this is what we are about. So please today, don't just rush by the tables. You'll find two tables, two tall ones in the center, and I think a long one on this end of the foyer. Pick these cards up. If you'd like to fill them out today, there'll be someone at the table probably you can hand it to, or right behind this wall that says Holiness Unto the Lord, if you loop around that way, there's a little box right on the wall that says Hope Distributed. That is where you can put your card. You can also put your monthly donations there when you bring them, so they'll go directly to Hope Distributed, or you can mail them in. So let's all fill a card out. I just leaned over to Kim and said, let's fill a new card out. Let's see what God wants to do through Hope Distributed. So we invite you into that, and we believe that you are interested in it, or you probably wouldn't even be part of this church. Pastor Adrian is coming now to help us with the benediction. You can stand, and that'll make you feel like you're about to leave. And the people who are looking in the little glass windows there feel like they're about to come in. So it works both directions. God bless you for being here.
Hey, well, this morning we want to make sure before you leave that if you need prayer today, you need someone to pray for something specific going on in your life, or maybe there's something you've heard today in the message about good news, and you need someone to agree with you in prayer, there's a place for that at the well right across from the cafe. People that would love to pray with you. Also, on your way out, if you are new or visiting, maybe you came, you had a child involved with Vacation Bible School, or you just showed up today, we are so glad that you're here. We have a gift for you right as you leave, the little desk right there by the back wall. We'd love for you to stop by. There's no obligation, just a gift to say that we love you and we are so glad you're here. And we always want to remind you that Monday evenings here is Celebrate Recovery. It's an opportunity for some more worship, some entry points into hope and restoration. And so that happens every Monday night here at HFCN. Would you bow your heads as we prepare to leave today? Father, I'm encouraged today that you would find us as your image bearers, that you would ask us, you would invite us to bring good news. And I know every single one of us represents somewhere in our workplace, in our home, in our neighborhood, where there is good news needed. And so I pray that as we go today, we would feel commissioned to go and bring your good news into each and every one of those situations. Wherever we go, wherever you send us, Lord, we want to be obedient. Thank you for this morning, for the children, for the overflow of their joy. And now we pray that that would be a reality in our lives as we leave this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you this morning. You are dismissed.